Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country in Great Britain, but also throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four talented, skilled, and highly delightful players of the game. With great pleasure, we welcome back that comic, inventive mind, the man who's contributed so much to Just a Minute whenever he's played the game, that is Paul Merton. And sitting beside him, we have a man who's played the game more often than any of us. Right from the very beginning, he was in the show, and his clever and erudite contributions have also helped to keep the show running for many years, and that is Clement Freud. And on my left, we have another comic icon who's also contributed so much whenever he's appeared on the show, and that is Tony Hawks. And beside him, we have someone sitting who's only played the game once before, and he obviously contributed so much that we've asked him back again, and that is Charles Collingwood. Now, would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Claire Bartlett, and she's going to help me keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful and magnificent Wimbledon Theatre in the heart of Wimbledon, the jewel and the crown of southern London. And there's four people who recognise the area, and but they're obviously going to enjoy themselves as we begin playing the game this week and starting the show with Paul Merton. Oh, Paul, a very apt subject for Wimbledon, the Wombles. Tell us something about the Wombles in this game, starting now.
As Shakespeare once wrote, underground, overground, wombling free, the Wombles of Wimbledon Common are we, making good use of the things that we find, the objects that ordinary people leave behind. It was a popular television show in the 1970s. The original books were written by Elizabeth Beresford, and Bernard Cribbins supplied the narration once it was broadcast on the television in the corner of my room. I remember liking it very much. I was of an age when I believed in soft, furry creatures living underground.
Yes, so, Tony, you challenged.
Yes, repetition of underground.
Underground, yes, you can't go underground too often if you're talking about the Wombles. Right there. Tony, you have a correct challenge, so you get a point for that. Have 16 seconds to continue. No, take over the subject of the Wombles, starting now.
I don't think it was William Shakespeare that wrote those words. I believe it was Mike Batt. Underground, overground, wombling free. The Wombles of Wimbledon Common are we. Were lyrics composed by that.
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Tony Hawks, so Tony's in the lead at the end of the first round. Clement Freud, will you take the next round? The subject is spring. Tell us something about spring in Just a Minute, starting now.
Spring occurs in the third, fourth, and fifth months of the year, known as March, April, May, and a bit of it in June. Although after that we come to summer. Springs are also metallic, bouncy things. Such as were made by my parliamentary colleague Cyril Smith, a failed anorexic, who worked in Rochdale and had a tremendous factory employing many people and using fine liberal principles by which to make sure that they were paid according to the work they did, and extra money if they...
Oh, they were hanging on every word there, egging you on. But Tony, you were the one who challenged first.
Yeah, I think there was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation, yes. So Tony, another point to you for correct challenge. 18 seconds available. Tell us something about spring.
You make me feel like spring has sprung. A wonderful lyric, not by Mike Batt, but in that Frank Sinatra song. Now, spring is nearly upon us, and when it is, I shall be gam...
Clement Freud challenge.
When's this show going out?
Good point. Yeah, good point.
It will be going out sometime in March, and the first day of spring is the 21st of March.
But does its programme go to Australia? confuses me.
I think, technically, Clement, he wasn't deviating from the subject. So I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to you, Tony. Incorrect challenge. Another point to you. 7 seconds. Spring starting now.
I shall be gambling around the fields like the lambs until I'm arrested, because that's...
Oh, full challenge.
Well, I don't agree with gambling. And I think to sort of drag animals into it is the height of cruelty. The poor things don't really understand poker, and to, you know, they use the cloth off their back, don't they?
So, what is your challenge within the rules of just a minute?
As you know full well, I haven't got one, Nicholas.
Well, all right. As the audience enjoyed your contribution, we give you a bonus point. And I think perhaps I should have given one to Clement too, because they enjoyed it as well. So Kenny gets one for his interruption. So that's only fair. I've redressed the balance now. Paul, you get a point for
Charles
your contribution.
Charles would like one as well.
I'm sure Charles will get one. Well, Charles will get one for being quiet. I don't know where.
I've decided it might be an interesting thing if I don't say anything for half an hour. Would be quite a novel way of playing this game, wouldn't it?
It'll be
coming to me in a minute.
Yes, you're happy.
And I'm being polite. I'm a bit of a new boy.
And
here,
you're enjoying it, aren't
I'm
you?
I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it.
Yes.
And he's terribly good, Tony, sitting next to me. He's frightfully good. Yes.
If anyway, you say nothing for the whole show, we might get you for repetition of nothing.
Absolutely. Keep going. Come on.
Okay.
But on that last challenge, or the interruption as it was, Tony, you get a point because
it was an interruption
and not a challenge, and you have 1 second to go on Spring starting now.
Lord Lucan.
So Tony Hawks again speaking as the whistle went, and with other points in the round, he's increased his lead. And Charles, with you, Charles Collingwood, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject, I wonder why they've chosen this one for you, baddies. Will you tell us something about this? Oh, you're winding them up nicely, Charles. Wait for the now, Charles, and that's when you go.
Is that what I do?
That's right, okay. Yes. And you have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Baddies is a loose term that actors are given when they are playing parts of a rather dubious nature on the theatre or the radio. For my part, I have never had the opportunity to play a baddie. For over 28 years, and I'm sure the audience can agree with me here, I've been playing the part of a goody-two-shoes, Brian Aldridge, in The Archers. And I can hear them agreeing with every word I say. And I love you, audience, for just being as generous as you are in the fact that you agree with me that Aldridge is not a baddie, but a very nice person. There are actors who get very bitter about playing the other opposite of...
Charles,
I hesitated so badly, I couldn't bear to let it go on. Do I get a point for hesitation? Sorry.
Charles, you've actually challenged yourself. So I have to ask you, what was the challenge?
Hesitation.
And it's a correct challenge.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you have got a lot of points already, Charles. So you got one for challenging yourself and getting a point for that. And you've still got the subject, but I have had a little message from the engineer in the van. Could you speak a little less close to the microphone, please?
Oh.
You were getting carried away with enthusiasm and actually licking the...
Such has been my role in The Archers for a number of months.
I know. All that licking came in and... But we didn't see much of it. I didn't hear much of it, actually, either. I just got the feel. So you have the subject still of baddies. You've been going for 49 seconds, and you have 11 seconds left, starting now.
Baddies.
And you've been challenged.
Slight hesitation.
A definite hesitation. And I have to tell you, they were very generous before. They did let the repetition of Aldridge go by.
Well, I think Aldridge does repeat himself rather a lot.
That's right. And I have to mention that, because people often write to me and say, why didn't you pull him up for that? It's not my responsibility.
No, so thank you. They just make me look stupid, really.
Must be nice for you to get the letters, though, mustn't it?
Yeah. I know. And I think it's very kind of you to write them as well.
I don't do the threatening ones, that's poor.
Tony, you don't write him letters as well, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Nicholas, I am Lee Wong. please, esteemed gentlemen, send me your photograph. That's me.
Really? I wondered why it was so badly written. There we are, there. Paul, it was a correct challenge. You have 10 seconds on baddies starting now.
Perhaps one of the greatest baddies that ever lived was Jeffrey Archer, a fictional character who was born in the late 20th century. He later became one of the Lord Mayors of London. What a fantastic...
So, Paul Merton, speaking to Whistle Wayne, gained an extra point, and he's moved forward. He's just behind Tony Hawkes, and Clement Freud and Charles Collingwood are both equal in third place. And, Tony, your turn to begin. The subject now is... punctuality. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
It's very important that you display punctuality when you begin talking in just a minute. The subject arrives at your doorstep from Mr. Nicholas Parsons. You must begin straight away. If you hesitate, you're finished.
Paul Challenge.
Well, it doesn't arrive at your doorstep.
No.
Well, you know, we're not broadcasting from each one's individual house. You know, so that's deviation.
Absolutely, because he gets it straight from me here. That's not exactly his doorstep.
Well, no, he's doorstep. You don't live here, do you? Yeah.
No, listen, I promise not to speak metaphorically again ever. It's going to get me into that kind of trouble.
Tony, a good way to get out of it, but quite frankly, as a metaphor for that table you're sitting behind being your doorstep,
yeah, it wasn't a
is
good
a
metaphor.
Bit far-fetched.
It was a poor quality metaphor,
yes.
Granted.
Right. So, Paul, I agree with the challenge. You have another point. You have punctuality. You have 40 seconds starting now.
Well, sometimes it's better to be more than punctual, to get somewhere early. That way you can control the status in a room. If you think that the biggest, most important chair is the one that's by a window, make sure you're sitting there when everybody else comes in, and therefore they have to
Tony Challenge.
I think there's a repetition of sure. You have to make sure you get there before...
No.
It was a well tried, Tony. No, you have 27 seconds. Punctuality is still with you, and 27 seconds, Paul, starting now.
Some people say that the art of punctuality is something that you can learn or perhaps have instilled in you by sheer disciplinarian methods. For example, if you turn up at a meeting, you're 5 minutes late, you lose a finger. And therefore, you've only got another 9 opportunities to be not on time.
Clement, your challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there wasn't definite.
There was there, yes. And I did say sure before. I don't want you to get the letters, Nicholas.
So what we do then is we give Tony a bonus point because that was a correct challenge you had, yes.
So honesty is not the best policy.
I knew that. I was just wondering how long before you owned up to it. And you were very punctual in doing so. Clement, you have 10 seconds on punctuality, starting now.
I'm very fond of words that contain U, C and T, possibly my favourite three letters. Punctuality, punctilious, functional.
I think the route he was following, he was saved by the whistle, but... He got a point for speaking as a whistle when, so Clement, you're now in a strong third place, and Charles is just behind you. And Clement, your turn to begin, and the subject is hustings. I think it's something you can talk about. Tell us about it in this game, starting now.
Hustings were originally the booths in which people voted, and then became the platforms from which they spoke. I have on many occasions orated...
Charles, your challenge.
Hesitation.
I think there was a hesitation.
That's very
Charles.
Good of you.
Yes.
Right.
No, it's not. It was accurate.
I can't wait
all.
To speak on hustings.
When you've got the subject, you've got 50 seconds to speak on it, and you start now.
I feel I could have made an extremely good MP. Collingwood, for your local representative, I hear myself cry. And the people thinking I'm a sincere, giving, true man who could represent them in the way that they should be represented.
Yeah, but you challenged.
He fluffed.
So you're very cruel.
You realise you hesitated and you fluffed.
I fluffed, frankly. Yes.
You bluffed and you
I'll
fluffed. And it was. We call that hesitation. Clement, you have 33 seconds. Tell us something more about hustings starting now.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Isle of Wight, I used to shout at the...
Charles Collingwood
challenged. He can't have said that. He represented Norfolk.
I know.
Somewhere
it was Ely.
Well, Ely's not going to be the Isle of Wight, is it?
No, but he still could have said it.
He's terribly lost if he's standing in Newport, Isle of Wight, trying to be a Liberal MP.
Well, the point is, this is my difficulty in this game in making a judgment. He can still say that and realise he's made a mistake. Or he could have said it's a joke. He could have said it's a bluff. I mean, there's no reason why he couldn't have got up in the in his constituency of Ely and said, people of the Isle of Wight.
People of the Isle of Wight, how do I get to Norfolk?
To be fair within the rules of just a minute, I don't think he was deviating, so you still have 27 seconds on Hustings, Clement, starting now.
My constituency was in Cambridgeshire, but I spoke on Hustings in Devon, Cornwall, Dorset, Wiltshire, Hampshire, Suffolk, Norfolk, Essex, Yorkshire, Lancashire, Durham, Northumberland, Cumberland, and all over Scotland.
Paul has challenged you.
He never came to Morden.
Right, Paul, we love the interruption. We get another bonus point for you. Clement was interrupted, so he gets a point, and he still has 11 seconds on Hustings, starting now.
Hampstead, Highgate, Kentish Town, Camden, Holloway, Islington.
Charles Challenge.
Well, he's just a local councillor now. And very desperate, too. Well, there's a desperation to be loved going to all these places.
Absolutely.
But you could speak on the Hustings at a local council elections,
yes,
can't
you? Yes, but you know he didn't go to all those places.
I know he didn't go.
He's a very distinguished elderly gentleman, but even his life hasn't given him time to be there.
Well,
all those places.
I don't believe he did go to all those places, but I can't prove it, so what are we doing
oh,
just
I
a
see,
minute?
So we just lie. I mean, I'm a new boy at this game. I just lie my way through the whole evening.
If you can, yes.
Yeah. Well, there we are. That's a new thing for me. Yes.
So,
and I love you too, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, while I agree with your thoughts, I must say, within the rules of just a minute, he wasn't actually deviating. So, Clement, you've got 4 seconds still on Hustings, starting now.
Politicians of all parties stand on Hustings and address...
And so Clement Freud has now leapt forward with what he contributed in that round, as well as speaking as the whistle went. And he's now equal with Paul Merton in the lead. They're just ahead of Tony Hawkes. Charles Collingwood is trailing. But I think for your interruption, Charles, you should have a bonus point. So Charles has got one more. Charles, it's your turn to begin.
Right.
Not too close to the microphone, please.
No.
And the subject is flat stomachs. Right. So you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
How I long to have my flat stomach back. That six-pack that for so many years excited me in the shower in the morning. Let alone my wife of 27 years.
Paul Challenge.
Is this Charles embracing the concept of lying?
On what area do you think he's lying?
About? Well, I don't know. This six-pack that he claims he had, that he used to admire himself in the shower, I don't... Did you really?
Used to. Not anymore. I'm getting to this bit. Getting to the sad bit now.
All right, OK. Well, let him get to the sad bit, then.
Right. So, you were interrupted. You get a point for that. You have 51 seconds. Flat stomachs, Charles, starting now.
Sadly, the older I get, more often I look down, the less I can see beyond my stomach.
Clement Freud Challenge.
Repetition.
Of what?
Stomach.
Of stomach. Oh.
Flat stomachs.
No, stomachs is plural. He's been very artful and clever.
Honestly.
I know it's
Richmond,
tough,
Haringey, Ealing, Hampshire.
It's a tough bit. The subject is flat stomachs.
How sad
and as you know, Charles, you can repeat the words on the thing, but you were saying stomach in the singular.
Oh. Well, never mind. I want to hear about his flat stomach.
You can bet your life he had it in Lincolnshire, Yorkshire.
Right, so, Clement, you have the subject and a point, of course. 44 seconds, flat stomachs, starting now.
If you have a stomach of my size, that could well be called stomachs, because there is enough of it, 44, 6, 8 inches in centimetres.
Charles Collins.
He was hesitating, and he also said stomachs, and I said stomachs.
I know,
he can't repeat stomachs.
No, he reparted off by saying, if you have a stomach, and mine could be called stomachs.
Charles,
of the size.
Calm down. You don't win a car if you win.
Well, I'll go quiet again.
Quiet. I don't bother.
I keep thinking he was hesitating.
No, no, he didn't. Prizes get
I'm
better,
sorry, Nicholas.
He was getting close, teetering on it, but didn't achieve it.
Sorry.
32 seconds, still with you, Clement, on flat stomachs, starting now.
Flat stomachs are enormously helpful if you want to go in for athletics, if you wish to participate in the Olympic Games, in which nearly every discipline requires a svelte...
Tony challenged.
Well, I was going to question whether the shot putting requires a svelte flat stomach.
Nearly every discipline.
Right, I'm now going to list quite a lot that don't. This could take some time. But there's the hammer. There's, please help me, somebody.
It didn't take as long as you thought.
Yeah.
He did say nearly every discipline.
Yes. Do you think it is nearly? I mean...
Well, I have to judge, and so I'm giving him the benefit of doubt on this occasion. I will try and redress the balance later if I have the opportunity. 21 seconds, still with you, Clement, on flat stomachs, starting now.
Running, jumping, hurdling spring to mind as exercises in which flat stomachs are essential. On the other hand...
Tony, challenge.
No, I don't think it's essential to have a flat stomach to run or jump.
On this occasion, it's not essential. You might be able to run or jump with a stomach which wasn't flat, and so I give you the benefit of the doubt on this occasion. Redresses the balance, doesn't it? And you have it, Tony, a point on flat stomachs in 11 seconds, starting now.
A lot of people go to gyms to try and get flat stomachs, but the ludicrous thing is they drive there and then get onto a running machine and do all sorts of things. Why don't they just get themselves into the...
So Tony Hawkes is then speaking as the whistle went, getting an extra point. He's now equal in second place with Paul Merton, and they're a point or two behind Clement Freud. And Tony, your turn to begin. The subject now is skiving. Tell us something about skiving in just a minute, starting now.
I reckon that most people have skived at one point in their life, but there are certain jobs where it's rather tricky. For instance, if you're Prime Minister, you can't exactly invite Jacques Chirac over and then be found on the golf course whilst he's waiting in your office. However, it would be fair to say, and some might, that certain members of the royal family have turned skiving into a job in itself. But I wouldn't be of that opinion, because it might make me unpopular, and I'm a terrible
Charles, your challenge first.
Well, I think he repeated might, and then he hesitated.
Yes.
Which one do you want?
I'll have both.
So the only thing I did...
So then I get 2 points.
No, you can't have 2 points. Definite hesitation. He did repeat by it. Anyway, 31 seconds, skiving with you, Charles, starting now.
When you skive, it doesn't really give you a feeling of satisfaction because all the while you know you should be doing something else, even though you may at that moment be having a lot of fun. But I do appreciate...
Tony challenged.
That's what gives you the satisfaction.
So what is your challenge?
Deviation.
No.
Oh, okay.
You could have had him for hesitation.
No, I know, but I didn't want to.
No, I do think, actually, to be serious, I mean, you can have the fun and enjoy it. Mm. Others do have a conscience about
it. Well, let's have a chat, you and I, about it afterwards, shall we?
Well, I made the comments.
Yes,
throw out the line,
I agree.
So
I mean,
so you come
like
back
we've got
with
something
the laughs.
A lot in common on
so
this
So we
one.
Come back with the laughs, which is all what the show's about. But you still have the subject, Charles, with a point, of course. 18 seconds on skiving starting now.
I live in an area of North London where I feel that most of the workforce that come to attend various parts of my house spend a great deal of time skiving. And I get very annoyed that I am about to pay them a huge amount of money when they fail to make an appearance.
So Charles Collingwood, with points in that round on skiving, has moved forward. Actually, he's moved forward so rapidly, he's now actually in second place. Oh. It's a very close contest as we move into the final round, I'm sad to say. Clement Freud is still just in the lead. He's only 2 points ahead of Charles Collingwood and only 3 points ahead of our equal third place, Paul Merton and Tony Hawkes. It's still anybody's contest, if you are interested in the contest. You're not, nor am I. I'm going to take the points. And, Paul, the last round is going to be taken by you, and the subject here is famous last words. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
There are books that collect famous last words, and I suppose if you've lived a fairly anonymous life, here is your last chance to actually make a mark. You're on your deathbed, you're not feeling too good, prepare something beforehand, and just as the doctor's looking down into your eyes saying, well, I'm afraid there's not much hope, look up and say something pithy, witty, exciting, controversial, and then die. But don't make the mistake of coming up with this marvellous statement, then saying something stupid and then popping off. Because after all that preparation, it wouldn't be awful if your last words were, I keep thinking it's Tuesday. It's not going to get you into the reference books. If you look...
A Clement has challenged.
Repetition of book.
Books that time, book before.
No, book. Oh, no, we're book and books.
Book, book and books, book and
he
books.
He started off at the beginning and says, book's been written about this.
Book.
No, he didn't.
If only somebody was taping this, we could find out, you know, we could play it back.
Now, Paul, if only you hadn't lied earlier.
You're quite right, he did say books. The thing is that, and he owned earlier, yes, he admitted that. So, benefit of the doubt to you, Clement. And 20 seconds on famous last words, starting now.
When it comes that my time is up on this solid earth, I hope that I have the good grace and presence of mind to conjure up some witty epigrammatic...
Clement challenge.
We've had witty before.
Yes, you did have witty before. Definitely.
It's got nothing to do with you. There's a vociferous woman in the third row, Nicholas.
No, but it does show they're following the show, doesn't it? And they are with it.
Yes.
Every word. So Clement's got in with 11 seconds on famous... Famous last words, starting now.
Perhaps the most famous and memorable to me last words were of the man who said...
Charles Challenge.
I thought it was a bit of a hesitation
there. I thought
there
was too, Charles, so you...
Oh.
It's getting sharp, it's towards the end, and there's 5 seconds for you, Charles, on famous last words, starting now.
This old family friend of ours lay on his bed and said, I wish I'd bought more whiskey when it was 10 shillings.
So let me give the situation and the final score. It's all very, very close. There's only 1 point separating all of them. And in ascending order, in a very strong fourth place was Tony Hawks, because he's only 3 points behind the 4 points behind the winner. And in a very powerful second place was Paul Merton. And in a really challenging second place was Charles Collingwood. But just 1 point ahead was Clement Freud. So we say, Clement, you're the winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four exciting and provocative and stimulating players of the game, that is Paul Merton, Tony Hawks, Charles Collingwood and Clement Freud. I also thank Claire Bartlett, who's helped me keep the score, and she's blown her whistle so delicately. And we thank our producer-director, Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we're very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Wimbledon Theatre in Wimbledon, who've cheered us on our way with joy and panache. Thank you from our audience, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from our panel. Thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute.